Hey, everybody, welcome to Well Up Cow Live. We got a very special guest today, the Cows. Welcome, Oompaville, big, hot YouTuber.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. you don't do my taste, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but, I actually really like
you. You are doing
taste.
Quite well as far as commentary. I call you nice guy commentary.
Okay.
You think that's fair? Nice guy commentary.
I feel like an asshole, but if you call me nice guy commentary, I'll take that, I guess.
I always felt like he reminds me of like early Ethan Klein, back when like Ethan Klein would do commentary, but Ethan would always make himself the butt of the joke. And I'll tell you what turned me on to you, Oompa, was you did a video where you put on a bunch of weights to simulate what it was like to be a morbidly obese person.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm going to be fascinated by that. And your reaction to that was fairly empathetic, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you took a piss a little bit too, right? Which is your job. But I just thought, I was like, man, that seems like somebody who kind of gets it a little bit, that it kind of sucks to exercise when you're fat.
All right, so how do I gain weight really quick? I can't eat a lot. I'm not going to eat a lot because I'm not a piglet, all right? So we bought a bunch of weight. So I know what it's like to be a person of size. This is how I'm going to be gaining 300 pounds in a short period of time. This is the only relief I find. Dude, this makes sense. This makes f***ing sense.
Yeah?
This, all the TLC, it all makes sense. No wonder they're so f***ing lazy. This is awesome.
I don't know. And then you do a lot of videos about fat people.
You know what it means also, though? You should probably get some weights and hit the gym, too. How ironic would that be?
You're not wrong.
But well, hold on. How many weights did he put on?
I think it was 180 pounds.
That's a little too much.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I jumped in the pool with it.
Wow.
It was pretty. It was like on my wrist, and I had like a big thing on my back and stuff.
Did it work out?
It was a lot.
I like to live on the edge. As he stands.
Do I work out normally? Yeah. Okay, because
yeah.
Like my whole thought process, because I challenge people to do this. I used to do a thing called walking 365, and I challenge people to take about 70 pounds, because that's what I figured what my body's not accustomed to. Because like when you're fat like me, you also have the structure, the frame, and the muscle to help carry a lot of the extra weight. But there's still a little bit more that you're not used to, right? And I always thought about 70 pounds is the proper way to gauge what it would be like to be an overly weight obese person.
You screwed it up, Oompaville. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, because like I had somebody actually do it and like walk around the track and walk 2 miles, and you realize that sitting down, you feel like a normal human being. Anything mm-hmm. else, you feel like you're dead.
Hence why you sit around all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, It is violently unpleasant to stand up at this weight.
Yeah.
I think, Jordy, you can Jordy, I'm sure you can relate. But at the end of the day, like, I have a disability where my L3, my L4, and my L5 have fused together for years of like compressing together, right?
Hold up.
So that in itself is very uncomfortable.
Use the term fused. Did you get them medically fused together, or did they naturally just get so compressed that they're like, hey,
that they've
one
grown
thing?
Together? Yeah, they're grown together. Yeah. So and like, not like fully. Just
so that
like
means
partially.
You're going to be crippled at some point in your life.
Yeah, I'm pretty much crippled now.
No. I mean literally crippled. Like, you're going to be like,
he's
fucking
walking around with the goddamn walker. What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about hitting this motherfucker. He's going to be like Butterbean in this motherfucker. He's going to be like,
he practically is.
Dude, have you
what
seen?
What are you talking about?
Have you seen what DDP did for Butterbean, though? Have you guys seen that video?
You mean Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah.
You said EDP.
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page, like, basically, once again, saved somebody's life. This is a guy who, of course, came into my life and tried to save my life, and even he couldn't save mine. But but he lifted Butterbean back up. Butterbean looks great, and he looks like he's in way less pain. Like you said, he's going to be crippled for the rest of his life to some degree. But he's not, like, dying the way he was before.
Yeah, I want to see more of that video than, like, okay, we've strengthened his core enough that he can stand up for short periods of time, right? Because, like, when your back gets to the point where, like, the spines are fused like that, you don't fix it. There's no real fix for it. Like, you're pretty much...
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Boogie really being up in a few years.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, this dude's going to be a legit... cripple. Like,
he, I mean, it's like I told.
He's legit. Like, he's not. He's there now. I mean, like.
What's your blood pressure at? I heard. I saw a clip the other day. I haven't seen a lot of this pod. I know of it, right? But I saw
you. I don't blame you.
Dude,
I'll take it right now.
You were screaming, yeah. And your blood pressure was like 190 over 120.
Fucking emergency room right now.
Okay.
I should be in a emergency room right now.
Then stop yelling.
No, seriously, calm down. Like, you could really kill yourself right now.
Let me do it. Fucking blood pressure. So fucking high. I should be in a goddamn emergency room.
Yeah, my doctor, that podcast might have saved my life. Because I contacted my doctor and I told him, and I'm like, dude, what do we do? He's like, doubled my Losartan. So my numbers have been better since then. Let's get a reading. I'm going to be quiet while we take it this time because I know that's important. You guys talk to the guests.
Love this fucking like blood pressure reading.
I'm molasses. Least overweight.
You have like molasses blood?
I have polycythemia vera, which causes me to have like a really high red blood cell count. Mm. And so that's like damaging organs and kidneys and stuff like that right now. It's really hard on the heart to pump everything through.
I actually have worse blood. I'm the skinniest guy in the show. I have the worst blood pressure. I'm probably gonna go for it.
Boogie, do you lie to your doctor?
No, never.
I mean, like, why does he just like, okay, well, I didn't know your numbers was this bad. Let me double your medicine. Like, how does that happen?
We went in, we put me on Losartan. He didn't know the numbers were that bad. They take them in the office, and sometimes they're a little bit high when we're in the office. Yeah, they're not great today. They're still not great today. 189 over.
I don't think you got the proper relationship with your doctor.
Maybe you might.
I play Call of Duty with my doctor.
We have this app called My Mercy, and I could write them on there and tell them what's going on. And so I told him, like, hey, man, I took my blood pressure consistently over the last 3 days. It's the same numbers we were getting in the office. What should we do? It's like, let's give you more Losartan.
What's your blood pressure, Loompaville?
Yeah.
120 over 80.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not.
Lucky
yeah.
guy. Yeah. Because I'm sure it has nothing to do with going to the gym and taking care of yourself.
No, I just think I'm lucky.
As we all know, streaming and YouTube creation is way harder than a real job, according to a lot of YouTubers lately.
Dude,
so
look at me.
You're under tremendous stress, aren't you? I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard.
I get anxiety.
Honestly. You get anxiety?
I get bad anxiety because, like, you're basically the sole purpose. You're the sole creator of, like, your future. And, like, if you don't have a good idea and you're working towards nothing, it makes me super anxious.
Jordy, you get anxious when the line is long at Wendy's. Come on.
Come on, boy. That's a terrible joke. Because the line could be just you and you've got a 30-minute wait.
It's still true. Well, they got that new surge pricing at Wendy's, right? Like, you know if the line's long, you're going to pay twice as much for the burger. You know. Have you guys not heard about this? Wendy's made the decision. I keep up with all the fast food news, even though I'm more of a Chick-fil-A guy these days.
Boogie, you eat in Arby's. That buffalo slider sucked.
Slider's a dollar, dude. I'm on a budget, okay? I can feed me, my roommate, and my girlfriend for $5. $5 you get that shit on the app.
When we got this app, I'm like, oh, man, Boogie's putting me on this shit. This might be fire. Nah, that shit was not fire.
It's so good. Did you get the buffalo chicken one?
I did, and it tastes like buffalo.
That's the good one. All right, whatever. The point that I'm making is Wendy's came up with a great plan that during rush hour, they were going to charge more for their food. I have no clue why they thought that was going to be. Then they tried to spin it afterwards. They're like, actually, what we were really trying to do is charge you less when there was nobody in line. I've never been to a Wendy's with a line. Have you ever seen
a
Wendy's
with
this?
Do you connect with this kind of conversation in Brazil?
I'm not a big Wendy's guy.
I'm saying this, Boogie. Like, the electric company's been doing surge pricing for years, and nobody gave a f***. So, like,
how about,
I don't care.
Well,
you probably don't
now.
Do that for my cheeseburger.
Isn't it cheaper there? Isn't it cheaper at happy hour?
Yeah, of course.
Seems like corporate greed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, and of course Wendy's didn't get away with it. Obviously.
Like,
and then, like,
thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But I mean, like, at the end of the day, I see your hat right now. It says Sour Boys on it. Mm-hmm. You're a merchant of candy now too.
Merchant
yourself.
Of,
you started
of
your own
diabetes.
Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it any good? When are you going to send our fat ass some?
I'm
that's
partial
the real
to
question.
It.
That's the whole reason I had you on the show.
If you guys, if you send me an address, I'll hook you up. With some.
Hell yeah.
I have a legitimate question. Like, do you buy from, like, a company that makes them? Or, like, do you have your own, like, manufacturing process with them?
He's got little elves back there. Putting it all together.
We have, we have all of it. Everything. The extruder, the batches, the kettles, everything we do.
So you do your own manufacturing. You don't, like, piggyback off, like, a bigger company.
Yeah, it's not white labeled. Yeah. We do it all ourselves.
Because I've heard it through the grapevine. That's what Mr. Beast does, and Mr. Beast candy sucks, man. It's garbage.
But can I ask why that's a problem? I mean, my T-shirts are made by a Chinese little boy.
Are your T-shirts terrible?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with like.
Depends on which one you buy.
Here's the problem I have with like chocolate. It's like a lot of chocolate factors in a lot of child labor in Africa.
Yeah,
I'm not here to accuse Mr. Beast of exploiting child labor. That's not what I'm personally doing, Jordy. If that's what you want to do.
No, I'm not saying I'm not accusing anybody of child labor, but I know like some major companies have issues with child labor with coca beans, with chocolate candy.
Yeah.
I don't think they have an issue with it at all. I think the kids have an issue and they're always and whining, complaining, fucking get to work.
So what you're saying, Caleb, if I eat your candy, if I find a pube in it, it's most likely yours. Is that what I'm hearing?
100%. If you find a pubic hair in my candy, it is absolutely mine.
Are you going to have Belle Delphine come take a bath in scalding hot sugar candy and then sell that? Is that
that would sell. Consider, that would
probably
sell.
Not. Well, probably.
Did you guys see
The FDA won't like that, to be honest.
Probably not. Well, I mean, the FDA has apparently approved amaranth a couple of months back, making beer out of her vaginal yeast. You heard about that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yanni beer.
Yeah, that's sold out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it can't be too far off. The FDA will, I think the FDA will
it's
with you if you're a hot streamer.
What about that chick from 90 Day Fiancé that farted into the jar so she's put herself in the hospital?
That one was true.
I know that one is true.
That was true.
That one's real. Did you buy that, Opaville?
Did I buy what? The fart in the jar?
The fart jar.
I did buy one from Amaranth.
Did you really fart in jars too?
Mm-hmm. She farted.
You're a degenerate.
It's a bit of a trend. It was. It smelled horrible. It smelled like shit.
Did she actually eat the crawfish like I requested? I don't want to let it all escape. That's a pretty strong fart. I'm surprised. I can smell it still. Dude, what is wrong with me, bro?
So you actually partake? Did you like crack the seal like this and like try to hold it for later?
There's none left in there. It's empty now. I actually had a contractor redoing part of my house, and I let him take a whiff on camera, and he was like, "Oh!" He's like this really old guy. It was really funny. About y'all's age.
What did you say?
How old are you guys?
Yeah,
37.
Ancient.
37.
I turned 50 this year.
You're the same age as my father, Boogie.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I cannot. Why the fuck am I still in the YouTube game? Oh, yeah, because I'm broke. But also, how the fuck am I still alive? Isn't that insane? Like, you cover a lot of fat people on your channel. It's one of my favorite things that you do. If you guys have not watched, like, any of the My 600-Pound Lives, watch them through Oompa's eyes because they're fucking fantastic, okay? But that said, how many of those people have you talked about are dead and I'm still breathing? What the fuck? That's weird.
Surprisingly, I think you'd be surprised how many are not dead and how many are just like have completely turned their lives around.
Oh yeah,
I think only two have
died. Anything about what that's like, really?
Yeah, Tammy's husband Caleb died, and then I think one other guy, but a lot of the other fellas, like Casey King, he turned his life around. He's doing extremely well. He manages a Home Depot.
I know Steven Asante hasn't turned his life around.
Oh, gosh, no, yeah.
You guys should get him on the pod.
We should get him on the pod. I wonder if we could, because last time I seen him, he was doing, like, cameos.
Yeah.
And he had, like, opioid teeth. Like, all his teeth had, like, fallen out and this. It's, like, good.
Opioid teeth.
Well, I want to call it meth teeth, but I don't think he's on meth. I think he's on pain pills.
I had the same mouth, but, you know, my doctor called it Mountain Dew mouth, but I get it. I fully respect what that's like. What is it with your fascination with lolcows? Is it more of a commentary thing? Is there a personal interest there? Like, because you do cover a lot of unusual people on your channel.
Did a friend of yours ask you to do this because he felt bad for us?
No. I would never do it out of empathy. No, I think it's, it started off as just like something to talk about, to do. I saw other people doing it. And then I did it, and I was like, oh, this is actually extremely interesting. And the first guy that I did a video on was Casey King. And then I spoke to him after, and like he had lost a bunch of weight and was doing extremely well, and that kind of like seeded it in my brain as something that I could do that's interesting. I think, you know, chemically, I don't know. It's a business as well. My YouTube channel, I love doing what I do. I have a lot of people that I enjoy doing work with. I like saying on the internet and seeing what people have to say in response. I don't know. I could approach it from 50 different angles. One of them being what you said, and then I find it fascinating. These people are fascinating.
You know what I fear about weight loss the most?
What?
What?
The f***ing loose skin.
Yeah.
Like, I've always thought, like, is there a happy point where I feel better about myself and I feel like I look better, but without vicious amount of loose skin that comes with it?
You're like 36 years old. Deal with it.
I'm about to turn 38.
The reality of it is, if you look at everybody that's gotten this weight loss or like weight loss surgery and recovered that way or like lost it the natural way, they have a tremendous amount of loose skin. Obese to Beast is a perfect example of somebody who still looks really good, but once his shirt's off, you know, you can definitely see the scars. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's scars. You should be proud of it. I don't mind
the scars because, you know, some scars should be worn with pride. I'm talking about like where it gets to the point where it's detrimental to your health. Like you just got big folds laying on top of each other, like 50 pounds of extra weight that just
get you do a sore fundraiser like you did for your surgery and get all the
I mean, that surgery works so well for me, Tommy. Like I'm still to this day asking, like people still accuse me of stealing the money.
I mean, I don't want to get us demonetized, but I would show you guys. But I've needed skin removal surgery for about 3 years now, and the skin is breaking down, and it's like miserable under there. And I'd be glad to show it to you guys.
The problem with skin removal surgery is the actual dangerous surgery. Like cutting your stomach out is pretty relatively easy. Cutting huge parts of organs off of your body.
Organs? No one cuts an organ.
Your skin is an organ.
Your skin is an organ, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, people have died. I do watch a fair amount of My 600-Pound Life and stuff.
It sounds like
and
an people excuse have gotten for a bunch surgery of fat people who don't want to lose weight. I don't look terrible.
No, Tommy, I'm telling you. People have lost the weight, gotten the skin removal surgery, and the skin removal surgery is so dangerous, they die from that. They will cut from hip to hip. Right? And you lose part of your pubic mound, you lose all that loose skin from your stomach, and that's one of the surgeries they wanted to do for me. The second surgery they wanted to do for me was to remove my breasts and remove my loose skin on my arms, right? And that's a second surgery I have to recover from. And the recovery time on this stuff is like several weeks of immobility. You have to stay in bed. And there's one woman who refused to stay in bed. She's like, I can finally move. I've been stuck in bed my whole life. Let me move. And she ended up ripping and tearing it in places, got infected, and it killed her. Yeah, this stuff, I mean, this...
Or the people that just have heart attacks from it.
It's that dangerous. It wouldn't be such a common surgery.
It's not a common surgery.
It's not a common surgery.
No, you got to fly across the country to find somebody specialized.
Can you help me out on this? I don't know as much about fat people. I'm a new fat.
New fat. Recently fat.
I'm a new fat.
You're a neo-fat.
Yeah, recently fat.
I'm neo-fat. Yeah, all I can think of is what it would taste like if you deep fried it.
Yeah,
like chicharrones, Mexican food.
I think these guys are looking for excuses not to lose weight.
No, I will be very honest with you, and I really want to see Caleb's face when I see this. The only thing that's kept me from eating human at this point is it's illegal.
Dude, I want 100%. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I want it ethically sourced.
I'm on board with that. Yeah. Breast milk. If that was something you could buy at the store, I would drink.
Why?
Why? What do you mean? Why?
It's gross.
You'd rather drink it from a human cow?
It's a human, yeah.
Y'all ever tasted breast milk? Breast milk tastes like plastic.
Oh, maybe from someone good. Who's unhealthy and disgusting.
It's not good.
I mean, I do like my big girls, but you know,
it's delicious and sweet.
I have a strip club story for you if you want to hear it.
Sure, why not?
No.
If it involves
breast
milk.
It's a human secretion.
In my 20s, I would go to this strip club. And this is back when I was like looking to shoot content and meet girls to do that kind of thing. And so it was kind of like a professional thing. I wasn't getting lap dances and everything. But there was one girl that worked at this local club called Bottoms Up, and her name was Cricket, which is not a great stripper name.
It's great.
And
what
she was
about?
Very short, missing the majority of her teeth, and a very unattractive woman. And she only ever danced at this club when she was pregnant because some men are into that. Oh, I definitely was not. And on a slow night, she would go from table to table and harass people until you paid her to go away. And one of the ways that she would harass people was when her milk came in, she would squirt you with milk.
That's fucking disgusting.
I mean, also, there's probably people paying to do it, But yeah, I definitely got it in my face. I definitely got it in my mouth, and I was very unhappy about that. And I did give her the $1 it took. It was $1. She would go away if you give her literally anything. Give her $1, she left.
Dude, if it's good enough for a baby, it's good enough for me.
I mean, it's apparently very nutritious.
Of course, would you partake in Cricket's source?
Oh, absolutely.
I think my wife would have divorced me if I made him. Oh, gross. I've had two children. You guys are... I'm fucking like a mean guy, and you guys are drinking like...
I would rather drink...
Look, I'm not stealing it like I work for Blizzard or anything here. I'm just, you know, it's a volunteer basis.
I had a wife, I would rather drink her breast milk than the secretions from a cow. I don't like cow's milk. I don't like cows. I think they're gross.
That's fine, but you don't...
What about goat?
Dine on your significant other.
I mean, like, all milk in its essence is just a weird thing. Like, you'll notice...
It's pretty nasty.
I'm rewatching Always Sunny, and, like, they use milk to vilify a certain group in there. A lot of movies will vilify, like, bad people drink lots of milk, and, like, they make it, like, a special thing. The Boys is another perfect example. Homelander is obsessed with breast milk in that show. And it's because, by its nature, milk is kind of evil, realistically. Because you are drinking this fluid made by a living creature designed to feed its young, and we're shoving it up our fat mouths.
It goes great with peanut butter,
though. Probably not a great thing to do. It does. It does. I do. I don't drink milk. I'm pretty lactose intolerant, but I do
same
with cheese, and cheese is insanely good.
Dude, cheese is underrated. Cheese is f-ing good. Yeah.
And I don't even mean like the good cheese. And I do love some good cheese, like an expensive
there's some cheese I can't fuck with that cheese with the worms and shit in it. Like, no, thank you.
Oh, I haven't had it. I want to try that. Yeah, my goal before I leave this earth is to try one of every food and one of every animal.
How much longer are you?
My goal before I leave this earth is to have a guest on and ask.
I haven't made as much progress as I would have liked, Caleb.
Boogie,
if I'm being honest with you,
pretty much set a clock on his watch, and that's probably correct.
If you come to Texas, we can get you some snake. You want to eat some snake?
I have had snake jerky once, but it was also cut with beef, I guess, or something. Maybe cut with chicken, so it was not pure.
How do you have access to snake just right off the top?
Gladly, snake.
I mean, there's snakes everywhere.
Guys are
around here.
Guys are a bunch of hillbillies.
Are we just gonna snap one out of your yard?
You're from South Carolina, right, Wings?
Yes.
I'm from Virginia. And yeah. So are you, Boogie.
I was right.
You're from like the hills, the Black Hills, like the lower part of Virginia,
Southwest Virginia. Yeah, the little armpit.
I'm from Northwest Virginia.
Do me a favor, just so, because you've been to, have you been to that part of Virginia?
Oh yeah.
At any point past through it? Okay. Please explain to them what a literal nightmare that place actually is, because nobody believes me, man.
Dude, anything west of Richmond, or if you're in central South Virginia and west of Paris Mountain in Northern Virginia, is just like... It's the biggest class divide ever you could imagine. Like, everything west of those areas is just such poor people. There's no infrastructure. The fucking schools suck. There's a lot, like, there's...
The paint's dull.
Damp is a color.
I thought that was just all south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, I mean,
the roads are broken up.
Yeah, it's like the Mason-Dixon line kind of, like, inverts and... Yeah, it's just like
we got those places here in South Crack where, like, the only new thing in some cities is the cop cars.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst part about it is, and just in case anybody from Southwest Virginia is listening, they are the nicest human beings you'll ever meet.
Are they?
Like, oh, come on in. Yeah, you can have sex with my sister. I don't give a...
Where's Fort Jackson? Where's Fort Jackson? That's North or South Carolina?
Fort Jackson? Jacksonville?
We got Fort Bragg.
Is it one of the Carolinas?
We got Paris Island.
No, Jackson. Jackson specifically. Paris Island's... Like, what Carolina is Fort Jackson?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
All I know is Camp Lejeune, and Jacksonville is just outside of Camp Lejeune for the Marine Corps.
Fort Jackson. I honestly grew up next to New York City.
You're a Yankee.
Yes. And the nastiest people I ever... And I admit, New Yorkers can be nasty. The nastiest people I met, South Carolina. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's a lie.
No,
dude,
absolutely.
100% lie.
I do not.
People I ever met in my life.
If I had Elon Musk money, I would still live in South Carolina.
Bro's got Gryffindor colors acting like Slytherin.
What?
Yeah, it looks like he's House Gryffindor because the scarf he's wearing, I was saying. But he's...
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so it's like a
look. Can we
Generation Z meme.
Can we just agree that everyone sucks everywhere, please?
No, we can't. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that. Because I've been to places like Los Angeles and San Diego, and I'd rather be with around people in South Carolina than people in San Diego.
Same.
I probably would too.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. Cities are just like, people are rotten. The bigger the city, the more rotten the people.
That's fair.
I would rather be with rural people than a lot of
I would go with that too, because like I go to Atlanta very often, and I would never want to live in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
But I still laugh at them, and they're still...
Oh, yeah, you can definitely point and laugh.
I will say, having visited Cleveland now twice, I'm surprised by the people in Cleveland just being so weirdly... Don't get me wrong, like, I didn't, like, run laps around Cleveland, but I did go into several stores, several restaurants, several...
Cleveland rocks.
Customer, and, like, yeah, Cleveland's kind of amazing for a city. Like, I would rather be in Cleveland than Dallas any day of the week. You know, Dallas sucks. I go to Dallas a lot, and I... Yeah. I definitely better in L.A. I had a guy yell at me for not taking photos of a snake in L.A. It was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. But there's a guy standing out in front of like the Ripley's Museum, and he had a snake. And I'm like filming the front of the Ripley's Museum. He's like, "Don't film my snake." And I'm like, "I'm not." He goes, "You better not." And I'm like, "Why are you standing in public?"
That sounds like something happened in New York. Actually.
With a snake? If you don't want people to film your snake, that's
welcome
so
to the street.
Weird. You know, but like,
don't care.
In Cleveland, everybody's just like, "Oh, hi, honey. Thank you for coming into our store." Like, they still had accents. That's fucking weird.
I got a
question. Why do you have accents?
I got a question. First off, Ohio is the northern southern state beginning.
Ohio,
but like, what happened to Cleveland?
It's not a southern state. It's the beginning of the Midwest.
I'm being facetious here. Like, almost everybody I meet that's from the north came from Ohio and South Carolina.
They're the worst. They're worse than South Carolina.
But what happened to Cleveland? Was it like a victim of like the car industry? Like I heard it was one of those cities on decline.
It might be, you know.
I'm actually looking for Tommy for this, and he's silent.
Yeah, I don't know. Just check who's running it, Democrats or Republicans.
I don't think it goes that far. I think it's a little more deeper than that. It has to be some industry that failed to have that level of poverty.
Okay, more Democrats, the deeper Democrats, the more
you guys like talking about politics on this podcast?
No.
Okay. No, not really.
Not really. Gotcha.
No, I will say, before we get off the topic of politics, I am becoming, the more we discuss it here on the podcast, the more I'm moving away from the left because, I don't know, man, like I start paying attention to more stuff after we talk about this stuff, and I'm beginning to realize you guys, you're both pretty center, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, I consider myself a libertarian.
Yeah, I kind of think that's where I need to be these days because, like, I see what's happening in New York right now, and it's scary, man. I don't want that happening all over the world. That's crazy. It's crazy what's happening.
Boogie, can I give you be perfectly honest with this? Like, I was a Bernie bro for the longest time. And
yeah, same.
And that made me lean more to the left because, like, my left-leaning axis is I just want healthcare to be a public resource and not a private resource, right? Like, I feel like
fuck it up like they do everything else, though.
Well, I understand it, but
where are you in Palestine, Upaville?
No. Let me finish before here, Tommy. But, like, I watched the Democrats shit on Bernie Sanders just like they did Ron Paul back in the day. Oh, Republicans really did Ron Paul. Politics. And it's like, dude, this is a club and we ain't in it. Republican, yeah, Democrat, exactly. It's we ain't in it. Both sides are two wings of the same bird that's too fat to fly. And
you know what
it's
always
a
amazes
failure.
Me. Like, Oompa, you're fairly non-political as far as I've seen in your content. It's not like
it's
you're
good business model.
I've never seen you pull down like a Casey Neistat and open a video by saying Hillary Clinton.
No,
that's
no,
who
I would
you
never
should
do that.
Vote for, right? Like, you're not gonna be that guy. What the f is it with YouTubers and they think that like you should be telling people how to vote, or even celebrities of any type, especially YouTubers.
Dude,
like, get a political
YouTubers,
science
I can answer
major,
this.
Right?
I can answer this. YouTubers are empty people. They have an empty job, an empty life. That's why they have to say their job is harder than everybody else. So to make it seem like they're important, they tell people how to vote.
That is exactly correct.
Right,
that is completely 100% accurate. And, yeah, I mean, it's just like people believe that they conflate just random things that they can add to their identity without having to earn them or like prove them logically. They conflate being able to do that with actually being able to provide value to people. Like, you don't have to make people laugh by saying vote for Hillary Clinton and getting half of everyone to agree with you. Like, it's just like a non-effort thing that empty people like to do. And most entertainers are empty. You're correct.
I am shocked hearing this from you because I have to be honest with you. I thought you might be on that side of the aisle. Your act is very upbeat, all right? And I've got no problem with your act. I really don't. But I saw you as maybe one of those guys that maybe virtue signals for the sake of virtue signal, and I'm hearing a completely like reasonable sort of businessman YouTuber, which by the way, I know the fans don't, but I appreciate a lot more. I like people talking that bluntly. But to hear that you say that YouTubers are empty, which has been basically my whole, at pointing that out has been my whole act for the past 8 years, is very refreshing. And you've changed my mind a little bit about you.
Yeah, I mean,
because at least you're on the surface about what you do. Not to say that you're empty, but like what other most YouTubers won't even criticize each other like that, which is just really refreshing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think virtue signaling for the sake of virtue signaling is like, definitely for sure something that a lot of people do, and it's not always a bad thing either, right? Like it's not like a inherently negative thing. Like if someone's bad and you say someone's bad, it doesn't make you a bad person. But if you build your entire personality off of just saying that and that's all you can do and you provide nothing else for anyone, whether it's like, you know, if it's just if all you are online is just that guy, then that doesn't matter. Like as long as you're a good person internally, right? Sure. Like it doesn't, none of the internet stuff matters. It's not like none of it's really real. I think a lot of people, a lot of people get really like obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's something I've really had to come to terms with in the last 6 months or so. Like obviously you reacted with the documentary, right? I didn't watch the full video, but I skipped around in it. And I thought you were pretty fair about it, right? But like preparing myself going into this documentary release, I had to remember that the internet's perception of me isn't reality. My friend's perception of me, my perception of me, my family, the people I care about, you know, people I share my life with, that's what really matters. But I had been so wrapped up in internet identity for so long. I've been on the internet making content since 97 that I would not have, a year ago, I would not have been able to watch any of your reaction to that documentary. And this show has also really helped me learn to separate it quite a bit too.
Why can't you do what he does? He knows he does what he does is an act. It's designed to entertain people, but just be a real dude.
I'm trying, but at the time, I think it just came down to lack of self-esteem, lack of self-awareness, lack of anything going on outside of
being
the YouTube sphere. Yeah. My life was entirely, utterly empty. Once my divorce had hit, all I had left was the internet. You know.
Can I pull the victim card here? I wish I could do what Oompaville does, but since I have trolls, I can never f-ing do it. Like, I would love to be able to take shit from, like, 90 Day Fiancé, flip it around, and be able to commentate on it and actually get views on it. But I know if I do that, all it's going to have is trolls are going to find a way to strike my channel into oblivion, and I'm going to have to be dealing with emails with YouTube for weeks on end.
Why don't you just try it? And then I think people would be really interested to see your opinion on it. And also if you were, cause like, sure, everything, you know, everyone who's doing stuff on the internet, who's performing, it's always an act. Like it's, you're not just getting like a video of you just being yourself for an hour. You'd be boring.
My fear is losing income for a month.
Right. I'm not sure if people would be able to, and as far as I'm aware in my community, they don't really have that kind of like power. But obviously you have next level trolls. So like, if you were to like kind of tie it into using it to hold yourself accountable, I think people would respond positively, to be honest, but that's just me.
Cause here's my fear. Like I had a Twitter and it got struck down because I put Final Fantasy Tactics poster images on it and they pretended to be like Square Enix and like Square Enix. They like drafted a letter and they did all this to make it look as legitimate as humanly possible. And they literally got my Twitter banned for like a week off of images that I pulled off of Google Images.
That's the problem with the system being automated. Man. But I mean, like, keep in mind, now when it comes to your YouTube channel, we've got your back now. Keemstar's got your back.
I want to do the content Oompaville does where like, because I love 90 Day Fiancé and I love 600 Pound Life. And like, I have large amounts of to say about all this.
Well, I think you should say I just don't think that you should like say it and then just be purely hypocritical. You know, people would have a problem with that.
What do you mean about that?
I mean, like, if you're just criticizing, like, for me, I can say, you know, that's wrong or whatever, because I know it is, and I live a life that is the literal opposite of what these people, like, they don't make TV shows about people like me. They make TV shows about lolcows and people who just cannot control themselves, and, like, it has to be a dumpster fire, right? Like, so I'm coming from a place where you know, most people are agreeing with me because most people are not the subject of a TV show that is specifically there to exploit them. Whereas you, I mean, like, you literally have an army of trolls that fuck with you and try to exploit you the same way that TLC does. So I think it would be a really interesting thing to, if you were to do it. But if you were to do it the same way that I do it and, you know, act all high and mighty or whatever, then it wouldn't end well, I feel like.
You know, you might not know this, but I was actually going to be, well, I got invited to be on a show called The Biggest Loser back in...
I've heard about this.
2008.
Yeah, I'm old school PK, yeah. Man, old school. Yeah.
They wanted me to sign off on, like, taking steroids. They wanted to pay me, like, $500 a week. I wasn't allowed to, like, do my video game stuff at the ranch.
That's awesome.
You know, and shit like that. And like, and efforts that if I did well, I'd win $100,000, right? Obviously, I was making like $12,000 a month being one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world at the time. So I said no.
Yeah.
But like,
I think you could do it though. I think if you just use it to keep yourself accountable, I mean, and then, you know, it could just be entertaining content, I think.
Those TV shows, I'm curious your take of this stuff. Like, My 600-Pound Life obviously has been exposed a lot now. Where they talk about, you know, forced drama. That's a key phrase here for our fans. But on top of that, like, there's one story about a guy who was forced to take a bath in a tub on his front porch, even though
that's not how
he normally cleans himself.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, you've heard about this, right? So I actually met somebody by the name of James Garrison. You can look him up if you'd like to. He almost got killed by one of these TV shows. Because they were like putting the pressure on him to make way in. You got to make way in. They were telling him a good way to make way in is by setting in a sauna and like, be careful about how much water you're taking in. The goal is to sweat it off. Well, he gave himself a lung embolism and nearly died to try to make way in on these shows. These shows are dangerous and deadly.
I wish I knew the background of it, because I picture just like a TV crew shows up for like a day or two and they try to create something that's worthy of like Mary Sue on the couch, right? Like, they're like, okay, what can we do to make you interesting, to get your viewership up versus the other person on your show or whatever it might be?
Yeah. It's produced. It's you know, reality scripted.
Yeah, reality TV is not real. Most of what you see on YouTube is a characterized version of whatever that you think you're watching. And everybody, when they turn on the camera, whether they mean to or not, they're playing a character to some degree, just like Caleb said.
For sure. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But when it comes to these reality TV shows, having known several people in it, I was on one, which was one of the most fair shows ever, but it was Super Size versus Super Skinny, and they were actually pretty fair about it. The worst thing they did was tell me what to order at the restaurant. They told me to get the fattiest, nastiest meal, so I did, you know. But, I mean... It's my favorite meal there anyway. I missed that restaurant.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Brides, the shit was good. You just got to go into that knowing that. And I do feel like you do call that out in these some of the videos I've seen.
I got a question. Do you think they force these guys on like 600-Pound Life to have that lumberjack breakfast that is ginormous, that fills the whole table? Because I look at this and like, you can't eat this every day. How do you afford this food every day of your fucking life? Where they have like 18 sausage links, a carton of eggs, a triple stack of pancakes. They double up on the syrup. They drink it down with a Mountain Dew.
I can assure you, having just done a Mike Klum documentary where Mike ordered $250 worth of McDonald's, let it set in a corner for 2 hours till it was cold, then we set it all out on the table, and I sat across from another morbidly obese man by the name of EDP. All of that was set dressing. The meals that I ate with Mike, he generally told me what to get or how to order it. The same with the reality TV show that I've done. Yeah, I guarantee you, 100%, 100% of the time.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, because nobody wants to eat like that on camera. These, especially when it comes to like My 600-Pound Life, a lot of these people, they're literally having their weight loss surgery dangled over their heads. You're not going to get the surgery. We're not going to save your life if you don't do what we tell you to do.
So here's another question, Boogie. Your heaviest was almost 600 pounds, right? It was like 550 or something like that.
587.
One of the big like themes of like these TV shows is traveling to Houston to see Dr. Now. And like all of them complain about like the car ride there and being sore. At your heaviest, could you have handled like a multi-state car ride with that complaint?
At my heaviest, I drove to Michigan all the time. I didn't drive. I mostly
because like I always I got my heaviest was 472. 472 was my heaviest I've ever been, and like I could have drove anywhere in the country. and not being in pain.
Yeah, if I was sore by the time we got there. Just riding in a car made me sore after 6, 7, 8 hours, right? But nothing like... Of course, a lot of these people are being transported in a bed. I can't imagine what it's like laying in a bed trying to hold yourself in position as the van rocks. Maybe it is different, but I don't know if that's staged or not. But I do know the majority of what's on those shows is. And this is one of the things I like about Caleb is he's not afraid to call shit out. I do have a big question for you though.
Okay.
And I think I already have an answer. Obviously, like I said, one of the things that draws me to your content is one of the things that pisses Tommy off clearly is that's kind of like nice guy commentary. Right?
I hate that shit.
Virtue signaling?
I don't think it's that.
I don't think it's about you. I think you're like because I don't get the feeling that if I criticized you publicly or goofed on you, that you would just like wreck your life and you'd swing your audience at me.
No.
Yeah. You're making it abundantly clear to me that this is what you do for a living. And then you're talking like a normal person on the side. So I feel like a lot of YouTubers won't do that. They'll actually just like attack even through a mild, you know, slight.
I also think it's important to realize too that like the quote unquote virtuous, like I pick and choose my battles very, very particularly online especially. Yeah. And if I say something, generally what I'm saying is things that I believe 99% of the time or things that I can rash.
But you're doing your character. I do the same thing. You know, I kind of do it.
Like it's not really like a character or an act as much. It is just me trying to be entertaining and engaging. And also like sure. I have to, there's a lot of things that I have to do. Like I'm the type of guy, to be honest, to just kill myself if things don't go well. Like just saying. Like I'm just saying. I'm not like threatening anything, obviously. Really? But like I am a very, very, very self-critical, always have been, incredibly just I'm always trying to do in my personal life, outside of YouTube or whatever, what's right. And now I'm conflating what's right with the content that I'm making. So I'm trying very hard to like not be a bad guy. I have a conscience. The things that I say, sometimes I regret them. When people call me out, I read hate comments. Most of the time, I agree with them. It's like if anyone's critical of me, I don't like. I usually agree. Like generally speaking, you're getting a slice of me that I recorded for an hour 3 weeks ago. Chances are pretty high.
So you're
my
not
mind
one
changed.
Of these guys that you're not one of these guys that panics when somebody makes it like something crazy. Because that's the thing. Like
no.
I had a thing with the Ack Man where I've done nasty, harsh criticism, but I didn't think this was real, and he just swung his whole audience at me. Now we straightened it out and whatever.
Isn't that his shtick,
but that's the really one, because that means the character, because I do that too. I can't be yelling and screaming and angry all this time. I couldn't function in real life, and you couldn't be that kind of go-getting, but you're trying to be engaging, and I get that. I'm just trying to do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Your way is more effective, you know. But I couldn't do your act, even if I just. Because it's just not me. I wouldn't be happy doing it.
Where I was leading was I don't think it's as much of an act. Like he said, he's 99% genuine.
I'm using the word act for expediency. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying like he's like just like a total phony or anything like that. Clearly, that's not the case. I'm whatever it is, a hyper personality. I'm not like screaming, and yelling, and pissed off all the time. You know that when we first signed in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like it. So I guess that's an act. But I try to do what he does. I don't. Say anything, whether it be political or something that I don't believe. I just may exaggerate my feelings on it, so to speak,
right?
Or how angry, or how much I don't care. Maybe I, you know, or something like that. It's always like
a lot of people.
Ends, you know?
A lot of people are very critical of me in that I'm a fence sitter, and I feel like that's like or like they say, okay, him and Mudahar are centrists. That just means they don't take a stand for anything. It's and I can definitely see where people are coming from. I just used a mocking voice to do that. I see where they're coming from for sure, because a lot of people live their lives like just black and white all the time. I have respect for that, whatever. But like in my real life, I really do not care about the internet. Like if it disappeared, if I had my friends and family around me, I wouldn't care. Like it doesn't. I have no connection to it in any way. I try to do my best. I don't want anything to have any sort of, like, for example, I make videos critical of people. A lot of the time, I called one person, this is just like a really small example. I called a dude a schizo. I think I put schizo in the title of a video. And I saw a thing on Reddit of someone saying that they were upset that I used the word schizo. and it had like three upvotes. Well, see, I saw that and I was like, and then there is someone who is schizophrenic. I responded to it with my actual Reddit account because I was just curious like what their actual thoughts were. They didn't think it was actually me. And it like actually made me feel bad for using the word schizo, genuinely. Not that I'm not going to say that in real life, but I choose to now try and not call people schizo because there are like literal people who walk around, you know, who watch entertainment.
See demons.
But you could do that with anything or any kind of slight or anything. You almost can't do criticism if you're being sincere.
Of course.
You almost can't do any kind of criticism or use any ad hominem because it's going to offend somebody and very deeply.
Of course, but
I mean, don't you ever think of that?
You can also control what you're criticizing to things that people can actually control as well. People cannot control the fact that they are schizophrenic.
I don't agree with that.
Okay,
I don't agree with that. I think everything's. I think you are being sincere.
I am absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not calling it fake.
Like,
or anything.
I try not to make fun of the way people look. Unless they are obese, because there is a level of control to obesity.
That's YouTube's terms of service.
And also,
I disagree with that point.
With what?
There's a level of control with obesity.
You think that you can't lose weight if you decide to?
I would say that I agree with him here because, again, my biggest issue is mental illness. And so, yes, if I've decided to lose weight, yes, absolutely, I would be able to
do it. So I can't say crazy.
If I can overcome the mental illness aspect, right? But most of the time, and I've said this my entire life, if someone's 50 pounds overweight, maybe it's just a choice. 100 pounds overweight, it might still be a choice. What 200, 300, 400, 500 pounds, 1,000 pounds overweight, that is something seriously wrong in that person's brain
for sure.
At that point.
I mean, right. I look at it the same way.
You still have a level
of
control over it.
Like a crackhead can technically choose not to smoke crack, but there is like a 10% level of control. But when I was in the death throes of my life, right before I got weight loss surgery and stuff like that, I would sit in my truck and cry knowing I was going to go to McDonald's and I didn't want to do it. And I had no choice but to go to McDonald's because if I didn't, I would get headaches. My blood sugar would dip. I would get angry.
I would rather be morbidly obese than schizophrenic because schizophrenia is something that permeates every single... Like, you can't... I would rather be morbidly obese than blind.
Did you see the AI chat thing?
The what?
The AI chat bot filter thing, where fat people were actually hated on more than, like, African-Americans, women's, Jews, Mexicans, and Latinos.
Probably, yeah, I could imagine.
you're not saying that you can't make fun of it.
No. I'm saying I decide to sometimes... if someone's schizophrenic, I'm not going to call them a... schizo, and knowing that people I know people who are schizophrenic and like they don't give a but seeing one person I tried to use like a level of empathy to see where they're coming from, had an actual conversation with them, and I was like, I never considered that saying schizo.
So I'm never gonna see an Oompa Loom video that I love this Tommy C stream, but he uses the word schizo.
No, I don't give a
much for my.
I'm not going to get mad at people. I think freedom of speech is the. I'm a constitutional. I love the Constitution. Freedom of speech. I mean, there's literally a fucking smorgasbord of firearms behind me on the ground.
All right, you're a good guy then.
If you think that words are going to offend me, you're wrong. If you think that I'm going to do something if you think I'm going to be offended on the on behalf of someone else, you are wrong. But if I will knowingly and willfully control my speech that I am voluntarily putting on the internet for money, by the way, I will try to.
Okay. I will try to
keep my conscience clean and not offend people for the sake of, you know, for specifically people who have things that they cannot control with them, which I believe there is a level of control you have over eating food.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I think Caleb is about as empathetic as a skinny person could possibly be to this scenario. Right? Right? Like having
I don't
never...
like empaths. I don't like people
that is
who are
so
empathetic.
Funny.
I feel like a lot of people who've never struggled with morbid obesity may not really be able to fully comprehend it.
I'll level with you guys why you might think that I'm an empathetic person. I have a panic disorder and a terrible, terrible, terrible anxiety disorder that was, I was like, partially, I forget what it's called. It's like predrome or something like that. For a while, I thought I was schizophrenic because my brain didn't work properly, right? Like it just literally didn't work properly. And then in unison with that, I had a heart disorder called PSVT, paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia, which like my heartbeat is really weird sometimes. And it like it beats super fast and then it like flops and I don't know. It's really weird. Hasn't happened a lot recently, but like there is times when I've felt as if there is no, I have no control over that. Like I can't go outside and there's nothing wrong with me. I'm physically fit. I can run, you know, I'm like, not to brag, shred.
You look great.
Yeah, I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
But
why didn't you just go outside then?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. So I understand, but there is a level of control I have over that I exercise on a consistent basis to build momentum. And my life now versus what my life was 10 years, unrecognizable mentally from the inside out. Promise.
Well, I will say this, okay? Having consumed like a good 80% of your content at this point, I think. At least when it comes to morbidly obese people. I don't get on all the drama stuff, but I do like it when it comes. I give you the fat pass. I don't know what the equivalent of a fat guy pass. You make us fun of as much as in your style and the way that you previously done it. You've never crossed the line, in my opinion.
You don't need
please
a fat pass.
Up.
You do what you like.
And just to be clear, I'm like when I say you have a level of, when there you can control. Like if I just say you can control whether or not you're fat, I understand that there's like nuance. Like I'm not an idiot. I'm not a stupid guy. I understand that like, oh, I can run 50 miles right now if I wanted to, but I'm not, and I can't, you know, like I get it. I'm not a fucking idiot. So I do understand that it is possible to, you know, get stuck, but I will say having a self-imposed prison is a privilege that is only a thing that has been allowed to be a thing very recently. And like that, knowing that, whether it's anxiety or obesity or, you know, having trouble with money, whatever the fuck it is, any sort of addiction that like you can control, but it's like tough to get out of it, whatever, seeing it as from the perspective of that is what gives me, you know, the impetus.
So you're saying there's freedom and discipline?
Sort of. I think there's freedom and discipline and there's freedom in faith and having faith in yourself.
Well, that's where I fell. I have no faith in myself.
My whole thought process
is this. Have you ever seen somebody go through the throes of like an opioid fallout or like a crack addiction?
I've seen alcoholism.
Yes. Yeah, because it's not the same thing. Alcoholism's a little bit different, but it can get to that level. But like it's a different beast, right? Because like you can choose not to smoke crack. You can choose not to take pain pills. Mm-hmm. But the consequences of that are vicious.
I mean, alcoholics die when they stop drinking. Like,
well, some of them do.
I mean, happen, a true, like an actual legitimate alcoholic, like they will. It's more dangerous to wean off alcohol than it is to wean off opiates.
Yeah, DTs and all.
Yeah,
that.
That's
well,
like,
opiates can kill you too, though.
Like, yeah, but it is statistically more dangerous.
You know what? When I was a kid, I knew a Korean War vet, and everybody used to steal his alcohol because he couldn't do shit about it. And I remember I went home. A buddy told me, "Hey, you know that guy around the corner? He died." And I remember thinking, I know there's a bunch of guys in stealing all his booze. So yeah, that's probably what killed him. So I'm well aware of stuff like that.
But the point is, there's a level of control there, and I think people look at fat people and they don't give it that same level of addiction because I say sugar is a f-ing addiction.
You're correct.
You know, carbohydrates is an addiction. You know.
Well, what good would that do? What good would that do? If we held obesity at the same point we would like something like heroin. How does that help fat people?
It doesn't help but it's more of like having empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
yeah, but that's the thing with both of you guys. This is the problem I have with both of you guys. You're constantly in this mode. You don't know what it's like. And I got to be honest with you, it's never worked for you, either of you. And it really doesn't matter. It's a red herring.
I would agree.
Here's the thing though, Tommy. Like both me and Boogie have actively our entire lives tried to beat it. We're not actually sitting around here.
Oh yeah,
just getting fatter.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I agree with Boogie to the point where once you get to a point where it's definitely mental after 100, 200 pounds for sure. I get you. I also know it doesn't f-ing matter how empathetic the people are around you. That's not going to help. That's what I'm saying. That's why I have empathy.
And allow
I'm actually
me to
an
say,
empathetic person.
Yeah, most people are not particularly empathetic to drug
misplace.
Addicts either. Let's just be honest.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference between like when I hear, because I make a special effort, just like he does, not to say schizo, not to misplace my empathy, because I know that could do damage to the person I'm giving empathy, and it could do damage to myself, where I'm just running all the time.
Well, wait, and I have a thought.
And I think it can, and you guys bring up, you have no idea what it's like. And I'm like, you know what? I don't. It's because of good decisions, like, and I'm not giving you my empathy. You don't have the right to take it.
Wait a second. Hold on. Our guest does have a thought.
I want
to
see what Boogie and Wings, what you guys think about this. Because I do agree with Tommy, and I have a bit of a, I'm on the spectrum. Like when I was a kid, I had no empathy at all. And it's like a learned thing for me, generally speaking. Pretty much. Like honestly, like just I was a really bad. I was a asshole when I was a child. Like genuinely. So there's a level of like trauma too, right? Like trauma is something you can weaponize. Not from like speaking from people's past or whatever, but you're saying like should you be nice about being like should you treat fat people like you treat an addict? Like there is a level of benefit to approaching something so. Something so impossible to control from the person who like it's tough to get out of the obesity thing. There's a benefit to approaching that with, you know, you're not traumatizing the people. You're not calling them, you know, move fat ass or whatever. Like that doesn't work, right?
No, doesn't there work is either,
a
yeah.
There's like a middle ground of like how much weaponized trauma you have to encapsulate your advice with or empathy. To be able to get someone to actually want to change themselves, because if it's, you know, inspiration or desperation, if you act out of inspiration, you'll change. If you act out of desperation, you might change, but it might be too late as well. You'll just be dead as well. That's what most people do. So it's like you have to be careful not to traumatize people, is what I'm saying, by giving them advice, even like weak shit, you know.
I mean, I'll go as far as to say that I think our society's leaned in the wrong direction to some degree, not everybody, but like seeing morbidly obese people on the cover of Sports Illustrated, probably not a great plan. The fat advocacy movement, the health at any size movements, these movements are detrimental.
Misplaced empathy.
To morbidly
and that,
obese
that's,
people,
that's what I'm talking
right?
about. Buddy.
And I think there is, there needs to be a middle ground. And that middle ground needs to be like, hey man, like I feel for you, but you're destroying your own body. How can we help you not do that? I'm not going to help you stay fat. I'm not going to help you live in a society where you choose to be fat. Obviously, I'm not going to help you do that. That's the wrong kind of empathy. The right kind of empathy is what resources can we allocate? What kind of regulations can we put into place to prevent cases like you from happening again? Like childhood obesity is a real thing in this nation, and it's becoming a thing worldwide. When I was a kid, when I was 1979, little fat Boogie walking around, I was the one fat kid in the state. Now a fat kid in Southwest Virginia is the more common thing. You don't see skinny kids anymore in Southwest Virginia. I'm shocked shitless every time I go there. So it's something is systemically fucking wrong, and we need to have the empathy when we're at the fucking polls. We need our congressmen to have the empathy to figure out the fucking problem and fix it. But I will promise you this, no motherfucker screaming at fat people online is ever going to help. That's never.
That's never going to help. But you know, I will say because I, although it is starting to spread, I'll be honest with you. You know, when I used to travel home, I didn't. I'm not really attacking you guys. I'll attack you guys when I see fit. I just right now. I didn't see guys your weight over here, ever.
In Germany,
and I'd go home and I'd be just like, you know, I forgot. I like when I used to hear about the obesity epidemic back in 2004. I just whatever. It lose weight, but when I'd come back home and I'd see like how common that was, and you just don't see that in Europe, you know, you almost gotta wonder: do they have to start regulating the food?
So
not so much like no McDonald's, but the stuff that we do eat for dinner.
I would go so far as the advertisement. Because just imagine it.
No,
100%. Like, dog,
it's a First Amendment violation.
Yeah, I don't think we need to be.
It's a First Amendment.
I don't think we need to be targeting children.
Well,
do
yeah.
not
you say
be
first
targeting children with cheeseburger ads.
No, genuinely.
I'm sorry. It's never fucking helped. It didn't help the cigarette people still die
did help
cancer
people,
every year. It's such an easy cop-out.
It did help cigarette people.
Hold up.
I like the idea of just blaming it on the politicians. I do like the idea of that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Would you
well,
not
it's
agree,
way better
Tommy,
than blaming
that
myself?
That
I refuse to blame myself.
Cigarettes
I refuse
now.
To blame myself, guys.
Because, like, here's the thing. No, just imagine if they advertised crack on billboards.
Kennedy announced in 1961 that it gives you cancer 100%. There's no doubt about it. That's when you started to see the drop-off. This advertisement stuff is stupid. It's as stupid as when, oh, Joe Camel, because Joe Camel is cartoon-like, so he'll make kids smoke. The idea that that's one of those things that you do that isn't supposed to help, but make you feel like it helped. It's total virtue.
No, just imagine they advertise.
It's a First Amendment violation.
Listen, you're talking over me.
It's a First Amendment violation. I haven't got a chance to talk. And plenty of people die of crack, and there's not Joe's Crack Store. So it's just
this
a First Amendment
This is
violation.
The understanding I'm actually wanting, though, right here. Like, the fact is like, just, when you see me in a room, you know why I'm a fat motherfucker. You can do cocaine, and nobody will know unless they see you do cocaine.
Do you want to know why there's not fat people over here? Because nobody gives a f*** about them. They don't give the empathy. Don't do all this. They don't
the fattest
have
person in the world is the United Kingdom.
Work. Yeah, well, United. You're just talking at your ass.
I do think there is a level of responsibility the government should maintain.
Yes, I know. But cutting advertisement, that's such an empty sort of what do they call that? Armchair activist.
I will tell you this, Tommy.
Cut the advertisement.
If I wasn't on YouTube and I seen like a Hardee's burger, I would never eat at f***ing Hardee's.
You're a retard.
I mean, this is a person that is going through the throes of food addiction, and
you're giving stuff to Palantino. Hey, I got Joe Camel banned. Oh God, there's like 100,000 cancer
deaths
a day.
You are like literally the ultimate customer, basically the ultimate
100%.
Consumer. So like advertising works 100% on you.
100% with food. Like I would go so far as this. I will squeeze $5 to the point that Abraham Lincoln's eyes pop out unless it's at Fuddruckers. I will drop a $40 bill.
Who the fuck is eating at Fuddruckers?
I do really, good taste, Boogie. That don't eat at Arby's.
I
ate at a Fuddruckers like 2 months ago. It was the Oh my God!
I do agree with the whole blaming it on like political the advertising thing. Like, if there was more of a focus on like education and health and like subsidizing local farmers and having co-ops and like the way California
or maybe
does,
making healthy food affordable. Like, have
that's,
you ever
that's
looked
what
at
I'm
that?
Saying,
yeah. I would agree with that.
Which,
I would agree
which
with
that's
that.
What Europe does, though. That's what you're saying. That is quite literally what Europe does. Like, they ban ingredients.
There's not a lot of empathy for fat people here either.
Because
there's
there
not
aren't
a lot
as
of
many,
go-to groups.
Because it's not a problem.
You know what? Why isn't it a problem?
Because of...
You know, and they're also saying we have a... it's more of a co-op. It's not free healthcare.
Yeah.
It's not 100%. Everybody thinks it's just like, you know, you just go in there and check in. No, there's all sorts of money coming into it. It's a co-op. It's probably why it still works.
Yeah.
And it's not falling apart like the NSA. So there's also this like, and this is a cultural thing, and this could not be built in America in our lifetime. There is a sense of responsibility that you have to stay fit so you don't drain the system. Can you imagine making an American
imagine
that?
But imagine, yeah, imagine the PSYOP, though, because this is now we're into the territory of PSYOPs. The European PSYOP is unity and love. The American PSYOP is McDonald's and Cheerios. So like
actually it's held together by virtue signaling, so to speak, in guilt.
In America?
It's not unity and love. We're in Germany, buddy.
Oh, Germany. Okay, European.
It's
okay.
Not, yeah, I'm in China. No, and it's not held in any other state. It's more, I would say it's on the more generous side, it's duty, personal duty. Oh, my God. Can you imagine an American get their head around that? And there's the other part that there's social consequences. That's what really keeps it together.
Yeah, and there are, to be fair, there are a lot of people who believe, you know, who are good people in America. Like there are the difference between Germany and France is the difference between in Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, like distance wise, geographically, there's a lot of differences in culture. Like that's one thing, you know, that a lot of people don't really understand. But I do believe that the PSYOP of like food, Cheerios are not heart healthy. Like that's not no. that's just that doesn't make no. sense. Billions of dollars are spent to fucking falsify studies so doctors will get like doctors don't prescribe healthy diets. They just prescribe shit. Like that's well known and well documented. That's an American problem, and I believe it's a PSYOP.
I mean, let me go as far as to say I might be a crazy person, but I think the best way for them to profiteer from humans in America, and I am a crazy person. Remember when I say this. Is to take advantage of people both coming and going. And the first thing they do is they feed us the worst possible types of food that's the cheapest
they produced. Offer us. So they don't feed us.
Charge the most for it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's really difficult for someone working minimum wage to afford anything other than
I can get a dollar McDouble
or I can go in. It's very cheap.
I can get a dollar McDouble or I can go and get a salad for $12 at Food Lion.
When I was – my parents are both self-employed. There was a time for like 4 years basically where my parent – like they didn't have really any money and like we weren't sure if my parents were going to – we were going to be homeless, et cetera. And we ate nothing but rice and beans, and that was very cheap and healthy, relatively healthy. And then we would shoot a deer.
I mean, beans are a superfood. That's true.
Yeah, and they're
rice,
extremely
not
cheap.
So much.
Extremely
right,
cheap.
But look at the other side of this. Like, if you're very, very poor, and like even like the McDouble's out of reach, your access is noodles with sodium.
Rice and beans. Okay. I mean, what are you talking about? Those are incredibly cheap. Lentils.
Yeah. Let me fully unpack this, because I really want to see if Caleb has a reaction to this at all, okay? I think that, number one, they produce the cheapest possible foods with the least nutrition on purpose, sell it at the cheapest possible price to make sure that we are unhealthy, to make sure that, because an unhealthy populace is easy to control. And secondly, I think when we go to the doctor to deal with those issues, they do not attack the root of the issues. They profiteer by giving you treatments that help you mitigate the damage, help you with the side effects, help you with the side effects of the other medications that you're taking. They're not there to stop the root cause of the problem because they know the root cause of the problem is systemic.
Yeah.
And it's all part
I don't
of
think that it's that I like the PSYOP. I use the term PSYOP the same way Tommy uses the term ACT. I don't think it's like an insane conspiracy like they're trying to make us all fat. They are literally just trying to make as much money as possible because they can. Mm-hmm. And that's
yes. Yeah, it's not like a conscious thing. No. They know what's good for them.
Yeah. And I think most things are unconscious like that.
Yeah, and I think
I think you're right.
I think what it comes down to is they do the same thing to us as we do cattle. We shovel antibiotics into them when they get sick, right? We do the same thing to humans now. We shovel pills into us every time we're sick. We feed them the cheapest possible food, which is corn, which is subsidized by the government. And we profiteer from them, from their labor, from their meat, from whatever else we can get from that cow labor in terms
he's
of milk.
Asking you, he's asking you, is that a conscious effort? Is people sitting in a room, a smoke-filled room?
I don't
room,
believe so, no.
No,
yeah,
I don't think
coming
so.
Up with that. Yeah. Or
it's
is
just to make
just
money.
Just
it's the Harvard Business School.
Yeah.
The Boeing, same exact example. You have to make more profit. Infinite scalability, infinite growth. You can never not make a lot of
you
money.
Sometimes you got to cut back to compete with other people. Like I used to own a restaurant, and we had to have like a $2.99 hot dog combo because if we didn't, they would go a mile down the road to McDonald's.
Yeah, so that's not a conspiracy. That's just you have to be in the game.
Competition,
like you have
to
have to be in the
competition
game.
And money and just like our values are skewed.
I'm sure politicians could do something. I am not going to pretend to be smart and know what they have to do, but I am certain advertising has nothing to do with it or have minimal
lobbying
or no impact.
Definitely has something to do with it. Lobbying is the basis of all problems.
If advertisements never worked, Tommy, they wouldn't do it and spend millions doing it.
No way. If it did, it's conscious, but taking it away is not going to be
also,
much that good either. That's
my point. If people were better educated,
I'm not saying the advertising doesn't
advertising
work.
Wouldn't
I'm
work
not saying
well.
It doesn't make you a fucking slave. Maybe it makes you a slave, not me.
Yeah,
right.
Advertising
but
does
I'm
not
the,
work.
I'm
on
the
me.
Targeted you know? Demographic. I'm the motherfucker. I'll spend $40 at a fast food restaurant.
I will go as far as to say that advertising worked very well on me as a child. As an adult, I avoid ads at all.
Halo
turns.
Those ads
right?
worked really well on me as a child.
And I mean, like, you got to remember, I was raised at a time we were holding our birthday parties at McDonald's, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, Boogie, I'm only 2 years old.
I would like to say, too, when I was talking about eating nothing but beans and rice and lentils and shit, when I would eat fast food, it was literally like a surprise party. Like, it was so exciting and such an insane privilege.
Yeah, that's true. It was a treat
it
when
was
I was
so,
a kid.
It was such a treat. This was like treat. 15 years ago. For me, this wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't understand like the it's like I don't know. I don't want to. I should not say
well,
what I was
going to
say.
Let me try to explain it to you. I can explain it to you if you let me.
Because I had sweet peas and kielbasa for lunch, but I don't crave this whatsoever. You know what I'm craving. I'm craving General So chicken and lo mein. I'm gonna fight that craving the rest of the day.
Yeah. So the way it works, here's how advertising, in my opinion, fits in, okay? You have a child whose dopamine is pretty much regular, right? I mean, these days with a phone in their hands by the time they're three, probably not. iPad kids, a whole other thing, right? But when I was a kid, our dopamine regulation was pretty reasonable other than like maybe television and video games affecting it, right? And when you took the dopamine hit of a cheeseburger, which they were heavily marketing towards children, I mean, that does something to you, right? Especially in your formative years.
Dude,
it definitely fucked me up for life. And then I also had the extra problem that my mother was feeding me wrong on purpose. You know, she admitted that to me when I was 25.
Going off.
The point that I'm making is
the advertisement taking it away going to have any kind of measurable impact.
I'm saying, though, at the time, in the 70s and 80s, when they were purposely targeting children, the result is adults like me and Wings. And that's the reality, I think. That's my opinion.
I could be wrong. You don't know. I don't know either.
I was raised shitty. That's why I'm fat.
Are we going to ignore the First Amendment to tell people that they can't advertise their legal products?
Well, they did that with smoking. To say Cheerios are heart healthy. Because of a study that
I think that's more reasonable.
See, they're I don't think they're thinking of the big picture. You're thinking of the whole thing. You can be a little more honest with nutrition facts and stuff like that. The same thing goes for you with the advertisement. Is it going to have a measurable impact? Is it one of those things that we do those things? Let's say we do the Cheerios,
but the advertisements are dishonest.
And nothing changes. That's even mildly measurable.
I don't think anybody's saying you can't advertise millions of tax dollars.
Example, like if you got say you got a thing of mashed potatoes, they're not actually mashed potatoes. They're like literally a compound. Like for example, they use like Elmer's glue in place of mayonnaise. The patties aren't there because they sit under the hot lights and they mildew and they do all this. So they use a product that looks like the product they're selling you, but it's not actually there. So they make it look more delicious than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you see a promotional picture, you see a big 2.5-inch burger that's juicy and it looks delicious. When you get it, it's just a smashed mush thing that's barely held together. It's dishonest advertising to begin with, right? And I feel like...
I think re-education camps.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
I do have a video I need to show Oompa Loompa before
I
we
see
end.
What you're saying.
I
mean,
I don't want to give the politicians a chance to pretend they're doing something about it.
Yeah, that's
show
fair.
Me something that could have a measurable
impact. Well, I want the politicians to end the world on drugs,
if it's
too.
Advertising, I'm sure something can be done, like Wing said, you know, they did something about cigarettes. But show me something that, don't do something like change the ingredients to be more honest on Cheerios and throw that out, and then nothing really changes. But you've given the politician a pass.
That you actually have
to
show the food.
You've given the politician a pass because, hey, I did do something. I got rid of the advertising. I changed. It's like, what idea? And this is a question because I don't know. What idea is going to have the most impact? Not the one that's going to make us feel good because we're sticking it to the company. You know, what's going to work?
I mean,
not
I think
what's going to make us feel good.
I think Caleb had it right when it comes down to education in this country definitely needs some help. And I think if, especially,
it
I mean,
probably couldn't hurt.
Yeah. I think if we were educating our people better to have some, I don't know, what do you call it? Internet knowledge or internet literacy or advertising literacy and having a better understanding of how to navigate these things, it could have a positive impact.
I mean, I'm always telling my son everything's bullshit.
I mean, I don't know.
Not all parents are built the same, Tommy. Some parents are dog shit and they hate their kids.
I got to suffer because of them?
No, I'm saying it takes a village to raise a child.
I think America was at its best when our education system was
designed
to produce doctors and lawyers and educators and scientists instead of f-ing obedient Starbucks and McDonald's workers, which is what it's geared towards now.
I got a video I want to show before we end because I promised my niece I would do this. My niece loves you, Oompa, and she wanted to make a video talking about her. Mm-hmm. So she did this.
Aw. Which one works? I'm so sorry, but I just want to say I love your content. I've been watching you and Frankie and Pip since like 2020. And when I found out Uncle Jordy was doing a YouTube video with you, I was like, no way. So I just want to say hi and that I love the dogs. And I just love being able to relate to someone because you did like FFA and stuff. And me too. Me too. So... anyways, love the content. Keep up the good work.
Bye.
Sorry, I had to do that. That is incredibly, I promised her.
Incredibly nice. I appreciate it.
Can I ask you something about that? How does it, that's got to be pretty mind-blowing when you get like people like that.
Oh, dude, it's every, yeah. If I see someone in real life who knows who I am, I'm just like, I sit there and start fucking talking to them because I'm like, what's up?
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, I'm like, what's your name? And then they'll just be like, and they always get like super like weird, I guess, because it's just bizarre to see. I'm in a very small town. But I just, I mean, yeah, I love that. That's like my favorite part of all this. Yeah. Yeah,
it happened once. It happened to me once in London, and they just asked about Keemstar.
Yeah, no. Tell her. I mean, yeah.
Mudar was supposed to ask you to do a video for her birthday. I don't know if you ever got around to doing that.
I don't think he asked me.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because like,
yeah, he's a busy dude.
I asked Mudar if he could make a 30-second video to like say happy birthday to her and stuff. Because
when's her birthday?
Her birthday is in a month.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's why awesome, not? Man.
You're a good guy.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say this, but I generally was a fan of you coming into this, and I think I think my perception of you was pretty accurate. I think you might genuinely be a well-meaning person, and that's
I actually agree. Totally agree.
In the current landscape, I'm very surprised by that.
I hate YouTubers. This guy's okay. Dude, but then again,
as soon as I cannot do this ever again, I will.
I'm in the same boat.
I'm out. I'm peacing out, dude.
Do you not like it? See, I actually like it.
I do love it, but there are I have a list, a book full of things that I love more.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I respect that. I loved this job for a really long time.
I love pissing people off.
And I'm actually learning to love this podcast.
Nothing makes me happier than pissing people off, especially the right people, if you know what I mean. I don't think anything can... Besides, I wish I was young enough to go back in the Army and do that whole thing again because it's such a blast. But I can't. I think pissing people off that are making much more money than me will do. You know? And you want to close it with anything, Oompaville? I'm actually really impressed. I really appreciate coming on. And it's nice to see it's nice to see somebody as successful as you.
I thought we had more very much grounded vitriol.
Yeah, do you guys got any other? I mean, I don't got.
No, I think I'm done.
No, man, I just want to say really thank you for coming on. I was really surprised you did it. I do have one big question for you, actually.
Okay.
Knowing how detached you are from the work, knowing how detached you are from the YouTube community, in regards that you have a healthy, I don't know what you would call it, a healthy outside life outside of the internet. Out of all the videos you've done, out of all the topics you've covered, has there ever been anybody that, like, when you walked away from, genuinely, it pissed you off, you're so hurt, so upset by what they were f***ing doing? Is there somebody out there that just, like, is stuck in your brain?
I don't know. I don't think so. There's nobody that I like. And to be clear, too, I'm detached from it, but I'm also incredibly grateful for it. Just to be clear, yeah. Like I do have respect for the people that watch my videos and who who are compelled, like, and who interact on the internet, like, truly. But no, I don't think anybody really. To be honest, I don't really care. I say I don't really care that much all the time, and people get mad whenever I say that, but I just really don't care that much.
I'm glad. I genuinely think, and specifically when you hinted at, you know, growing up somewhere on a spectrum and having to teach empathy to yourself and learn these things now, I think it's kind of amazing. You are probably a fairly solid example of what a YouTuber should be.
Probably should be, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of rocks. I do look forward to you getting canceled one day. And
I will. Because you...
actually shot too. Somebody in the skull or whatever, you know.
Goody two shoes.
Yeah, dude, I feel like I'm not a goody two shoes. I've literally never.
I can't wait.
What do you think, Wings?
I think that you're going to end up shooting somebody.
You think
it's going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, well, I picked a gun up off the floor and it happened to be loaded.
Ooh, hopefully not an ND. Woo. Hopefully it's like, you know, people trying to steal my food stores and the world is shut down or something like that.
All right, everybody.
If it comes to that.
All right, everybody. From Boogie Wings and Oompaville, thank you so much for being on. And the world's gayest vape. See, it's got lights. We'll see you next time. Locale Live.